It's time now for the Prescott Palette with your host, Barry Barb. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Finding and Making the Good is a group of community members recognizing and celebrating people doing good for others in our community. Share your stories of people doing good deeds through their website, findingandmakingthegood.com, and they'll randomly select up to three each month to be recognized. Visit findingandmakingthegood.com to nominate and contribute today, and like them on Facebook to learn more about your neighbors who are making the good in Prescott. Proud to be part of the Gatto Community Gives program. Like them on Facebook and visit their website, findingandmakingthegood.com. Sponsored by Elgato Azul.
All you need to move ahead is a college that works with you. Yavapai College has degree and certificate programs that can fast-track you for the job you want with schedule options that work with your busy life. The step you take now can secure your future. Take it. Sometimes a classroom or a learning lab is the best way out of the box. YC has classes and certificates in the most sought-after trades. Visit Yavapai College online at yc.edu/admission to register today.
Here's a shout-out to my good friend Rukini and her crew of Allen Flowers and More, where they've been creating beauty and delivering happiness since 1914. Located at 1095 East Gurley Street in Prescott, Allen's is your one-stop shop for all your floral and gift needs for any occasion. Weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, or to send a pick-you-up bouquet. Allen's features a wide selection of unique gifts, cards, truffles, as well as convenience of a drive-through pickup window and flower happy hour. Allen's Flowers and More, 1095 East Gurley, 445-5131, or on the web at allensflowers.com.
Welcome to the Prescott Palette, where we're going behind Prescott's culinary, visual, performing arts, and everything in between. This week, my guest today, on our anniversary show, by the way, today marks our 1 year of doing our show here on KQ&A every Saturday at noon. Thanks for joining us. And as I said, my guest today is Mr. Bob Shimizu, jazz guitarist, jazz supporter, a good friend. And how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine.
So what are you playing there?
Well, this is a blues. I'm going to take a tag. Here we go. When I get together infrequently with my teacher, all we play is the blues.
Because now, who's your teacher?
Bill Moyo down in Phoenix. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful player. And every time we get together, it's nothing but blues for a couple hours. And he's always stopping me and showing me something new.
So we've known each other. How long have we known each other? Almost 20 years?
I first showed up in 1996, and I think that's about the time we met, because I walked into 129 and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And Barry's in the back of the kitchen going crazy, and there's jazz music out front. The food's wonderful. And so for a while, I felt like I had a neighborhood bar I could go in any time and feel really welcome.
That was a great period. I love that time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a great time.
Well, so, you were working your tiny little rear end off, yeah, running four restaurants at once. You crazy man.
It was a little crazy nuts. It was fun times, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my question is, so where are you from originally? Because you're not from Prescott. Where were you before this?
Well, I am not a Californian. I'm one of the few that came from somewhere else, and that's the D.C. area.
Okay. And what were you doing in D.C.? Because you have a career beyond the jazz thing you're doing now.
Well, I'm the marketing and sales arm of a really small mainframe software company called Cole Software. That's been my career, but I always had the itch to play music as well, and so I've kind of scratched that itch for 40 years now.
So when did you first, so you said 40, when did you start becoming interested with was your family involved in music, or what was your early influence as far as getting into music?
Oh, no, I had to fight to play.
Oh, really?
My parents were academics, and they could see.
I'm not shocked by that, by the way, at all. Knowing you, I'm not shocked.
Well, Dad was the head of the Japanese section of the Library of Congress, and he was a college professor and couldn't see any profit at all in me being an artist. So that was that.
So when did you start playing then?
At age 12, a neighbor gave me a broken guitar that wouldn't even play, but I put kite strings on it and learned the chord formation. So it's like playing silent piano.
Oh,
and
really?
I did that for several years until I finally had a real guitar. It too was a piece of junk, but at least you could strike the strings.
So you started off playing on basically nothing.
Yeah.
And just learning the fingering and the chord structure and stuff. So what, at that time, what type of music were you interested in? Did you have a genre that you were following, or was it just something in general?
Well, I was a child of the 60s, and I actually remember some of that era. So it was folk songs and Bob Dylan, and then the Beatles hit, and I thought they were amazing. And about the time that the 60s were over, I was into jazz because I listened to Wes Montgomery and went, oh my, how does he do that? How can I do that?
Right. And so at that time, the funny thing is at that time, you had to listen to the music to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you can watch like YouTube videos and watch the fingering patterns and stuff like that. But at that time, you were like literally having to immerse yourself into the music, absorb it, and then process in your mind. Is that kind of what you were doing? Or?
Well, that's how you learned everything, is you wore out LPs or 45s. You put the needle back, you put the needle back, you put the needle back, put the needle back. Jesus, getting kind of I can't hear this well. Put the needle back. It's like polishing a rag, using a rag to polish a piece of granite.
So before you started playing jazz, do you remember the first song you could play on guitar? Do you remember the first song you played, like whether it's folk or whatever? Because everyone struggles, because I'm at this place where I'm struggling to learn one solid tune.
Oh my, I cannot remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It might
be. Do you remember, Mason?
It might be. It might be.
Yeah, mine was it was on the fiddle and it was Boiling Cabbage.
There you go.
That was the first one I ever learned.
It probably was something like that.
Louis Louis.
Yeah. So when you went into jazz, you remember your first, what, you were listening to Wes Montgomery. Who else were you listening to at that time? Because we're talking, what are we talking here? This is the 70s?
This would be in the 70s. Yeah. By that time, I'd been thrown out of a very good college and was living in Madison, Wisconsin. And there was a guy named John Shacklett there who was a contemporary of Wes Montgomery back when Wes was coming up. So all of a sudden, I had one of the guys from that era who was a contemporary of Wes Montgomery's, and everything that I learned was the Montgomery method. But Johnny took it even farther. As fast as Wes could play single notes or octaves, John could play chords.
Oh, really?
So he'd play these really ultra-fast lines in chords, like up here, like crazy tempos, and I just had to get more of that.
Right. So were you playing, when did you start playing gigs? Did you play any gigs at this time? Were you just all feeling personal enjoyment and edification?
Well, after being in Madison for about 4 years, I moved back to the D.C. area and started doing wedding bands.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. Wedding bands of the 80s has got to be like the most cliche thing in the world. I swear to God. Do people still do wedding bands?
Celebrate
good
times, come on.
Electric slide and all that stuff, it's hysterical. I don't think they do wedding bands anymore. It's mostly DJs and stuff, isn't it?
Don't forget the ugly tuxedo. You had to wear an ugly tuxedo.
Oh, yeah.
Ours were yellow with black trims.
Did you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We looked like bumblebees.
So what was the name of the band?
Connie and the Bumblebees or something silly like that.
Was Connie a singer?
She was a singer.
She was a singer, and you were how many guys were in the band?
Five plus her.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So then you're in DC for a long time.
Oh yeah.
And then what, after the wedding band era, so to speak, what did you do after that?
I started getting into serious jazz, and I played with a group called Come Out Swinging in the D.C. area for a long time. That was kind of an avant little group. They played way better than I could at that time, and I learned a great deal. We put out an album, and then I got into rock and roll, and for 25 years after that, I hosted a variety rock and roll band.
No way.
Yeah. We did Gin Blossoms and Stevie Ray Vaughan and
wait a minute, Bob Shimizu.
Oh yeah,
you headlined a rock band.
Yeah,
let me hear some.
Oh yeah, can't tip it up to the fact. Tense and nervous, can't relax. Can't sleep, bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, guess could say. That's enough of that.
That was almost a little too much. So now you've moved to Prescott about 20 some years ago, 27 years ago. So this is when you and I met. And then I think at this point in time, if I recall, you really started to get into intense perfection of the jazz genre as a soloist. Is that correct? Or is that a way to say it or no?
Well,
did you become obsessed with it?
I walked into 129 and a half, and there's Jack Peterson.
Oh, my gosh. Love
and
the man.
He's doing the Prescott jazz trio thing, and it was just lovely. And
yeah, he did the it was the Hot Club of Prescott.
That's correct. That's
correct. It was guitar, bass, and mandolin.
Yeah, and after 25 years of rock and roll, I said, I remember this is why I got into guitar. And I went and pulled out my guitar and started shedding and working on it and working on it. And eventually you allowed me to play as a trio in your club.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really good.
You did Secret Asian Man. I remember that
one.
Oh,
good gracious. Secret Asian Man.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A pun. That's a pun.
I understand that. Thank you. Yeah. So explain to the people that are listening, there's a difference in guitar technique and styles from genre to genre. So what is the difference from going from, say, a rock, country, bluesy genre into the jazz? What's the difference in the difficulties of the two?
Well, the bridge to all of that music is the blues. And the conduit for the blues has been the black experience in the United States, which hasn't been wonderful all the time. But along the way, they had this tradition of singing and chanting, and that collided with Western music. And one of the early things we got was folk music from that period. Mm-hmm. Then later on, it was regional and concentrated in New Orleans and in Chicago and New York. All this has to do with after the Civil War. I'm not a great musicologist, but the bridge to all American music is between the blues. That's right. Where it comes from. So if you know one, you'll be passable at the other, which is what I brought from rock, from jazz first, then to rock, then back to blues,
right.
To jazz. You know.
So then you were here, you've been in town, so you started, you did a recording of your own. You did a couple albums, right? Two or three?
Two albums, both that I'd like to forget.
Why?
They weren't my best. They really weren't. I was learning. I was doing all self-producing. It wasn't until I met a guy named Mike Florio, my current manager, where I really upped my game. He helped a lot.
Yeah. So your first one, though, was it First of Monroe?
First of Monroe.
Was this all your own pieces?
That is.
These are all your own compositions?
Yeah. And that album, 2011? Has a lot of famous people on it. You've got Lenny Castro, a very well-known percussionist. David Garfield, he's George Benson's musical director.
Right. Go here.
We had Dominic Farinacci, who is a prominent guy in New York. Eric Marienthal, he played with Weather Report. And it's Mike Florio who made all this happen. He brought all these national level cats into the studio with me. Joey DeFrancesco. Now no longer with us, but
right.
Joey came in and read the chart down, took one take, burned it up, and was out the door with a check in his pocket. This took about an hour, and I'm going, what just happened? He was so great.
So I asked this question of a lot of guys that sit in that chair over there who are musicians who also are composers or lyricist or whatever. When you go about writing a song, where do you start? What happens that prompts you to write a piece?
Because I'm primarily a rhythm guitar player, a chord guy, I'll usually start with a cool chord progression or something that I'm interested in, and it grows from there. Then I end up tacking a melody on top of it. Sometimes it happens the other way, where I get a melody in my head and start building the harmonic content underneath it.
So when you are, are you consistent at your personal rehearsal level? Are you at it every day, or have you periods where you were heightened at, like, I'm going crazy nuts at it, and it ebbs, or?
It comes and goes. I get on the guitar at least once a day. It's strange if I don't. But if I have a show coming up, then that gives me a reason to focus really hard.
Right.
And that's where a lot of the work gets done.
So speaking about shows, you've been down the valley quite a bit. You've been to BIM, and where else have you been down there?
Ravenscroft, done a couple of the smaller clubs down there. And Mike wants to put me into more national places coming up next year, which should be pretty cool.
So what do you think about for this year? What do you think about going? Do you know yet? Or?
Coming?
Yeah.
February 16th at the Raven, one of my home bases.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Right downtown?
The Raven's very much my home base.
So what do you like about live performance?
I love the spontaneity. I provide the framework for the tune, but I have no idea where it's going after that.
Right, right, right. So you got something to play for us? You want to throw something out there?
Yeah. A million years ago, I used to cry my eyes out to a song called Abraham, Martin, and John, and which asked the question, why do we kill all of our best guys?
So you mentioned Wes Montgomery. Who else do you consider an influence on you as far as your...
Ooh.
Do you pick different techniques from guys?
Oh, yeah.
So who were some of your favorites?
Well, the late Chuck Loeb, wonderful modern player. That's what I'm trying to do. Pat Metheny, of course. If anybody mistook me for George Benson, I'd be hugely pleased. I mean, George has it all. He sings beautifully, plays beautifully, leads beautifully, has great people with him. He deserves that Bentley that I've seen him driving around Phoenix.
Oh yeah, there you go. So do you are there current younger players that you listen to and like, or because it's the genre is really becoming, it continues to expand and condense and expand, and but there's some guys out there, anybody right now that you really like look at and go like, I really like that guy.
Well, everyone should listen to Chris Standring out of L.A.
You know who Chris? I don't think I'm familiar.
ChrisStandring.com. He's got this modern approach to music, which I really like. Him and Chuck Loeb, kind of my faves right now. Here in town, some of the greats are Dave Russell, of course.
Right.
And Ted Burras. And there's a young player, Troy Skilperort.
Oh, Troy's awesome, isn't he?
Yeah.
That whole group of guys right in that. I hate to say it, the young guys are like,
yeah,
they're probably, I don't know how old they are, but late 20s, early?
Yeah.
Probably late 20s.
And that's what's remarkable is that these younger guys like Troy are doing so well because it takes decades to build a jazz player. You can't just pick up the guitar and burn really good lines off the bat. You need a lot of learning, and it takes a while.
A lot of patience.
Yeah, well. A lot of the older guys get better and better, which is why I cite those references.
Yeah, I think the fun thing about Prescott is that, you know, we're the kind of microcosm or hub of one retired musicians, and the high school for years and still does has a really strong music program. A lot of those kids came out of that program. Nicky Adams, you know, all those guys, and they're now in New York and D.C. and China even performing. you know, and they have the benefit of watching guys like yourself or the Jack Petersons or, you know, I can't remember, there's too many guys to name, actually.
Well, Michael Jaramillo, he's fairly
new. Oh, Michael Jaramillo, he's new to town.
He's wonderful, plays with your band.
Yeah, he took the place of Jack Peterson, was a solid replacement. We're really pleased to have him. So if you were going to go out and listen to somebody tonight, what are you looking for when you go to, you're out in the town, you're out of town, you're visiting LA, you're in, wherever it is. What do you look for when you're looking for a jazz or a venue?
Well, suppose you went to a restaurant. What would you be looking for?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, same, a lot of the same things. You know, I want the overall ambience. How's the food? That is the music. How's it being presented?
Yeah.
You know, is there a sense of timing? Is the chef playing to his audience? Is he trying to engage with them? Now, I've had some fantastic meals at Tourmets, including this week.
Oh, thank you. Lovely seeing you.
This is one of Prescott's very few fine dining restaurants, not since Linda Rose.
Oh, I'll take that.
Very, very well done, Barry.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and sooner or later, you and I are going to get together and play some Tourmets songs.
I know, we got to do that. We'll do that in the spring. We'll do a gig out on the patio.
That'd be fun.
So what are you working on next? You said you got a gig in February. Are you working on a new album or new pieces or...
I've been slowly collecting new tunes that I would like to incorporate, and I don't know if I'm going to do them as an album or as release a series of singles. That's the music business. That's Mike's end. He might say, release singles instead, you'll do better.
Right.
And I'm starting to write again, which is fun.
Yeah. So if you were going to collaborate with anybody right now, you had to pick of anybody, who would you, like three guys you would love to see? I want this guy in bass, this guy in drums. Go on.
I've been very fortunate to play with some fantastic guys. Right now, Stan.
Sorensen?
No. I'm. You've thrown me a real curve.
There you go.
Good gracious.
That's my job.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Well, you know, take any of the Billboard 100, and I'd be honored to play with them. You know, just the collaboration, not so much the performance, but the collaboration. It's where all that happens, all the magic happens.
I know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was talking to someone about this the other day about how, like, you know, you can be as good as you want to be on your own, but until you get with a group, as far as in a band or a live gig performance, you really never know how good you are.
It's not so much that as it is the cooking on site. It's like you take all these ingredients, and you have a good idea from the ingredients what it's going to turn out like, but you never really, really know.
Yeah.
And as I say, I provide the framework, and then these guys, they're just all amazing. Ioannis Goudelis on keys, Mike Florio on drums, Stanley, what's his last name, on bass. He sings. That's the group that we'll have in February. Oh, Buddy Banks on drums. These are all A-level guys from Phoenix that come up. I guess because I'm amusing to them.
I'm amusing them. I like that. So you and Jane Ann enjoying the grandparent time now?
Oh,
she's,
yeah.
She's done with Gunsight, right? She retired?
She retired in August, and I'm getting used to having her around the house all the time.
You're getting used to it? Took a while to get used to that?
Yeah.
You put the guitar away. Are you going to play one more before we head out?
I don't really have anything prepared except for a Christmas song, and it's January now.
Oh, so play the Christmas song.
So Happy New Year, everybody.
Play the Christmas song.
All right.
I know. We thought it was going to air earlier, but...
If you'll permit me, Prescott, to... you're probably sick of hearing these music by now, but this is my favorite song of all time. Originally recorded written in 1945 by Bob Wells and Mel Torme. And I can hear Mel's voice in this. Apparently, it was a hot summer day, and they were just trying to be cool. So they wrote a Christmas song to try to be cool. And
it's a post-holiday chestnuts roasting on an open fire. The Christmas song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks just up like Eskimos. Everybody knows some holly and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow, we'll find it hard to sleep tonight. Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering these simple things to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
And Happy New Year's. That's perfect.
That says it all for about Christmas for me, except it doesn't talk about the birth of Jesus. It should, but it's an impression and impression piece.
Yeah, I love it. I love that piece. And I love, you know, I love Mel. I love his style. I love his phrasing. Is it something about him, the way he scats it, like unpredictably and incredible? Bob, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And before we go, I want to say how kind you've been to Prescott. Every time I turn around, Barry's giving something else to the community, and you've been great for Jazz. He runs the only steady group on Sunday nights at El Gato. That right there is an act of patronizing.
We've been almost 20 years.
Yeah.
19, I don't know how long it's been.
So thank you for everything you
pleasure.
Do, man.
Well, anyways, hey, the website is bobshimizu.com. You can check it out and listen to some of his tunes there. His two albums are First of Monroe and Let's Get Together. February 16th, you are where?
At the Raven from 7 till 10
p.m. At the Raven downtown on North Cortez from 7 to 10?
Yeah.
Who's joining you that night?
That'll be Stanley and Buddy Banks and Ioannis Goudelis on keys. Should be a riot.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Prescott Palette. I'm Barry. Be sure to check out my column every Thursday in the Cross the Street section of the Daily Courier to see who I'm talking with next. And we'll see you next time on the Prescott Palette. Here's a shout-out to my good friend Rukini and her crew of Allen's Flowers and More, where they've been creating beauty and delivering happiness since 1914. Located at 1095 East Gurley Street in Prescott, Allen's is your one-stop shop for all your floral and gift needs for any occasion. Weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, or to send a pick-you-up bouquet. Allen's features a wide selection of unique gifts, cards, truffles, as well as convenience of a drive-through pickup window and flower happy hour. Allen's Flowers and More, 1095 East Gurley, 445-5131, or on the web at allensflowers.com. For your next special occasion or to make any occasion special, Torme, Prescott's newest Italian bistro, is a place to meet. Open weekdays for lunch and Monday through Saturday for dinner, Torme offers a selection of creative pasta dishes, fresh seafood, sandwiches, and salads with all sauces and pasta made fresh daily. Torme, not your mom's Italian, but you'll love it even more. Torme, for any occasion, 802 Valley Street in beautiful Prescott, 778-7123.
All you need to move ahead is a college that works with you. Yavapai College has degree and certificate programs that can fast-track you for the job you want with schedule options that work with your busy life. The step you take now can secure your future. Take it. Sometimes a classroom or a learning lab is the best way out of the box. YC has classes and certificates in the most sought-after trades. Visit Yavapai College online at yc.edu/admission to register today.
Let Rafter 11 cater your next special event with a selection of our prepared scones, sandwiches, salads, and bruschetta boards. Rafter 11 Wine Cafe is your one-stop shop for any event. Conveniently located at Center Court in the Prescott Valley Entertainment District. Plan an event on our spacious outdoor patio, in our relaxing dining room, or order ahead for pickup. Rafter 11 Wine Cafe, Coffee Shop, and now your party place, 928-227-2050.
You've been listening to the Prescott Palette on KQNA 1130 AM every Saturday at 12 noon. If you know someone who's doing great things, have a special event, or just got a great story, drop me a line at presspalette@gmail.com. That's P-R-E-S, palette@gmail.com, and we'll get them on the air. In the meantime, see who I'm talking to every Thursday in the Across the Street section of the Daily Courier and on Facebook at Prescott Palette.